Hello and welcome to the Science Fiction Book Review Podcast. My name is Luke Burridge and this is the show where I review every single science fiction book that I read as I read it. There's no set schedule, it's just whenever I finish the book. I do the review, stick it up here on the podcast feed for everyone to download and listen to. And today I'm going to be talking about a book which is a follow-up book to a one that I reviewed recently, but it's also a prequel book to one that I reviewed recently. It's called The Book of Phoenix by Nnedi Okorafor, and I reviewed Who Fears Death, which is the first book in the Who Fears Death series. I think there's only two books here so far. The first book came out like in 2012 or something. This one came out just last year, The Book of Phoenix did. And this is Who Fears Death, book 0.1. So it's a prequel book. Now, when I was reviewing Who Fears Death, that is a book which is set in a post-apocalyptic world, post-nuclear Holocaust kind of thing, and it's set in sub-Saharan Africa, and there's magic, lots of magic, it's lots of fantasy, but it's also, you know, the post-apocalyptic thing, like leftover technology. People have cameras, people have GPS devices, people have, you know, computers, but not a lot of them. There's different technologies which are around, some of it more advanced than what we have in the real world and some of it less advanced. Anyway, so I'd read that this one, the Book of Phoenix, is a prequel to that, and I was like, ah, I know what this prequel could be. We have some untold stories, business with Onisowo, who was the main character in that first book. Her mother has got some stuff, and I was like, this is probably a book about something to do with her mother. And it turns out I'm completely wrong. This is actually goes back a long, long, long way further than that. This goes back to dystopian 22nd century New York and other places as well, but it starts off in New York, where there is a, you know, the political climate has changed a lot, and, you know, it's kind of like some kind of cyberpunk world, you know, where there's, you know, different corporations are running things, and you're not quite sure if something belongs to the government or belongs to a corporation, whatever. Also, like, post-climate change as well, so the sea levels have risen, and quite a lot of New York or Manhattan is underwater, but lots of parts of it are above water, but another parts, you know, are the buildings which stick above the water, and so it happens then. So it's like pre-apocalyptic dystopian fiction, but certainly with a lot of magic kind of stuff. However, in the first book, it's like, this is magic. Yes, it's magic. It's not science. There is some science fiction, but there is also a lot of magic. And there's kind of glimmers that, oh, maybe it's some kind of alien technology stuff going in there as well. But generally, you know, it's kind of like it's magic. Whereas this one, it's very much, it feels a lot more like, oh, the people have this because of genetic engineering, have genetic manipulations gone to them, and it feels like a bit more based in technology. However, it's still very magical technology, with the idea of people walking through walls and people who eat stone and glass and other people who eat weird things. Of course, the Phoenix, Book of Phoenix, someone has wings and can fly, and somebody else has wings and can fly, and like shifting through time and space, and, you know, all these different kind of things that you would expect from a fantasy story are all in here. However, there's some kind of hand waviness going, oh, well, this is based on some technology from here. And there's one point, something like, oh yeah, this technology was found on Mars. There's an alien on Mars, and we brought him back here and experimented on it, and that's where we get this technology. So, but that's not really what this story is about. The setup is this. It's kind of like there is a frame story around the main story. Let me have a look at my notes here. So yeah, it starts off in the time of the previous book, maybe like the generation before Who Fears Death. And it's about an old guy who goes into this cave and he finds a stash of computers and is like, ah. And it reminded me very much so of Canticle for Leibowitz, because, you know, there's someone, and I think he's in that book, there's someone hiding from a storm. And in this one, yeah, I think there was a storm coming, or whatever, and he goes in there and he's like, right, I found all this technology and stuff, and I found these artifacts. And what he finds is an audiobook, which is very strange when I was listening to this as an audiobook, and suddenly it's sort of like, and then I started listening to the audiobook, and this is what I heard. And the idea being that this is an oral narrative by somebody who, you know, lived through this time, you know, this dystopia time, pre-apocalypse time, what it was like to live there, and kind of going over what kind of led up to some of the apocalypse which these people now live in. So a bit Canticle for Leibowitz in that way. However, it's and then of course at the end of the book it was quite fun where suddenly he goes, and then I came to the end of this and I stopped listening to the audiobook on this tablet that I'd found of this recording, and that's been after about there's one at the door. One thing that happens when you live in an apartment and you live on the first floor and you don't have a real job and you're the only one in, mostly what my job during the day is taking other people's Amazon deliveries and then giving to them when they need it later. So anyway, what happens in this book is near the end, it suddenly goes, and then he finished listening to the audiobook and about 6 hours later, and I looked at it and I was like, oh well, this is like an 8 hour audiobook, but it's felt, you know, comparable to say, oh, this story could have been told in about 4 hours. It was actually took a little bit longer than that by pure hours in the audiobook. But it was certainly a lot more realistic rather than the book, which I always bring up in this case, which is Wise Man's Fear, where at the start of the Kingkiller Chronicles, where at the start of that, he says, I'm going to tell you this story and it's going to take 3 days to tell you this story. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is a 40-hour audiobook. That's about 3 days worth of storytelling. And then he gets to the end of the first book, which is 48 hours of audiobook. And he says, and then we went to bed for the night. And I was like, that was... You managed to somehow fit 48 hours or 40 hours worth of audiobook storytelling into, you know, 16 hours of story time. Anyway, forget all that. So it was a fun way of, this is a story about a story. But halfway through the book, I'd forgotten about that until we got to the end. I was like, oh, yes, this frame story. And while so much of what this book is about is that middle section where we go back in time and we read about what happened there, what this story is really about was something which kind of, well, it didn't catch me by surprise because I kind of, like, it was one of these things that in the back of my head, I knew this was happening. And I even mentioned this in my previous review, or the review of the previous book, Who Fears Death, where at that time they were saying, well, there's this book, the Book of Oni or whatever it was called, and they're like, okay, well, this is what happens, and this is why black people are evil and bad, and then there's these white people here which are good and wholesome, and they are actually aliens who came from the sky, and that's the reason why they are, you know, they are, well, not aliens, they are like this greater race which is, you know, comes down, and that's why the people with the light skin are better with than the people with the black skin. And when I was reading that in that book, I was like, I'm not quite sure that is actually what it is. That's, you know, that's the story that is being told in this book, but it seems like not the real story that is actually, you know, that it's not the real history. It's the history that was written for the white people to tell the black people, so the black people stay lowly and the white people are all, you know, the ancestors of the white people who wrote this book are there that doing that. And of course, that is, you know, much more explicitly stated in that book, where at the end of it, it's about rewriting that book and going, okay, we're going to rewrite this book. And that is actually what we have in this story. It comes into the end, and it's so, so, so powerful to have somebody read a story, read this story of someone who went through this time, this pre-apocalyptic time, and lived through that as a black woman who is, I'll get into a minute, from the New York, and it's very, you know, it's sort of like, oh, and I identified with this character, not all the way. I mean, there's lots of bad things that happen and bad things that she does and bad things that, you know, happen around her, which isn't always good, and some decisions that I wouldn't have made. But at the end of it, to hear someone go, ah, that's the real story behind, you know, behind the situation we're in now. Tell you what, I'm going to completely rewrite that. And it's like, oh, this is the guy. I mean, that's mild spoilers, but it was kind of, like I say, all the way through this book, I was expecting to get the story, the true story of what was happening. So I think this book is one of those amazing examples that, even though there's stuff in the middle of the book where I was just like, okay, I get this book, you know, the story, the actual content of this story isn't always that enjoyable, and some parts of it aren't as well written as the first book, Who Fears Death. Overall, this book is one of those amazing storytelling experiments, or like the message of storytelling within the story is so well done. It kind of blew me away at the end. It was like, oh right, this is what these whole two stories have been about. They are about a suppressed people creating myths for themselves, like a new country, a new nation, a new tribe, whatever. They need stories to tell themselves to keep themselves going in a post-apocalyptic world. What are those stories? What are the stories that are going to be more useful or less useful for them? And to know that throughout both of these books, we have these stories in the background of like, okay, what is my story? What is our story as a family? What is our story as a tribe, as a nation, as a country, as a human race, or different races within the human race, and all these different kind of things. It's like, this is what the book is about. And there was parts of the middle of this story where that kind of faded away a bit, whereas at the beginning of this, certainly at the end of the previous book, and at the beginning and end of this book, it was very, you know, it was the forefront of my mind. It's sort of like some of the best part of this book is this frame story about what this all means. And maybe I've given it away too much, but I don't think it does give it away that much. It's kind of a twist ending, even though like all the way through it was in the back of my head that this is actually what was going on here. And then it was confirmed that was what was going on in this book. Well, it's not so much a twist ending. It's sort of like going, we're telling you that is this story the truth? Because maybe this story that we are being told isn't the truth, but it's the story that this character had to tell herself to give the reasons why she did what she did, or why what happened throughout this book. And then there's sort of like, so there's layers and layers of this story. And so let's get into it. This story is really not about this guy who goes into this cave and finds this audiobook and then listens to an audiobook and then we listen to that audiobook being told. It's actually about, let me go over to my notes here. Phoenix is she's called an accelerated person, accelerated woman. She's 2 years old, but she's already got the physicality of a 40-year-old woman. And she has been created in Tower 7 in New York. And first of all, you think, oh, it's Tower 7, maybe like Trade Center, World Trade Center Tower, is that been built? But it's actually, there's all the different towers at different places around the world. I think there's one like in North Carolina and one in the American Virgin Islands and things like that. And so she is an accelerated person and with lots of genetic engineering. And these towers are where they get together all of the people who kind of got weird powers or weird things going on or unexplained people going on. We were just talking in the last episode about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and these like inhuman people. It's like, oh, okay, these people have got some weird alien DNA stuff in them, and then that gets expressed in different way. And this person, you know, uses this magic to walk through walls and things. And so all these people are kind of brought together into one place. And she lives with these people, and there's one character called Saeed who she kind of gets on with and falls in love with, and then something happens to him, and then she discovers that one of her superpowers, or her main superpower, isn't just that she's got wings like a phoenix, is that she can burn things down, she can burn herself up, and then she gets kind of put together again from the ashes, and then she comes back to life and rematerializes and rises again from the flames. So once she discovers that, she kind of uses that to escape, and then goes off to Ghana, I think, for a while, and lives there for a while, and then just goes on this journey of self-discovery, like, where is she from? Like, who was her mother? Who were her parents? Like, where is her DNA from? Where can she get into contact with other people who are going through the same thing? And she meets back up with some people. And it's pretty much about her coming to terms with who she is and kind of living as a person outside of society and who is being completely persecuted. So to hide her wings, she always uses a burqa to pass herself off as an Arab woman or Muslim woman who's got a burqa, even though that's not what she believes, but she has to do that. So she gets different things like that. She's a black woman as well, and has an Arab boyfriend in some cases. So there's lots and lots of different things going on here, and I realize I don't actually want to say too much about it, because it's what the main part of the book is about, this woman and what she goes through and how, you know, and what it leads her to do, what she actually does at the end of this book, which, to be honest, again, it's one of those things I kind of saw coming, but I always thought, oh, this book is going to go in one way, but it doesn't. And this is a really difficult book to say, okay, there's this uprising, and what is this uprising going to do? What is the goal of this uprising? And it's kind of like, well, you know, Book of Phoenix, fire and stuff, like, well, some people just want to see the world burn. It's like, well, do they really? And it's kind of like when someone is dispossessed, when someone is, you know, ignored, when a group of people is ignored and just shoved to the bottom of the pile all the time, they will do stuff. I mean, there's this such an interesting thing looking at it now in terms of, you know, I don't want to be too apocalyptic, but like looking in terms of Donald Trump becoming the president, when you actually look at this, you go, wow, okay, why would anybody ever vote for him? Mostly racism, or partly racism in some ways, but a lot of it is, you know, oh, it's economic anxiety. Yeah, white people's economic anxiety. But yeah, whatever it comes down to, but there is this thing, you know, where you just go, okay, so once somebody is said, hey, vote for this guy and it's going to go better for you, and then your health insurance goes up. Oh, vote for this guy and, you know, it's going to go better for you, and then you lose your job and it's shipped overseas. Oh, you vote for this guy and it's going to go better for you, and then the job comes back to America, but it's all automated and computers do it. Oh, vote for this guy and everything's going to go better for you, and then, you know, other industry in your town closes down. And it's one of those things where you just go, at the end of like cycles and cycles of this, you're just like, ah, fuck it, I'm not going to vote. Or, ah, fuck it, I'm going to vote for Trump. Ah, fuck it, I'm just going to, like, anything is better than we've got now. And some of those hard choices, it's interesting to see a book written about a kind of like a political revolution within this book, which isn't, you know, isn't based on the same issues here, but it's sort of like, okay, as a black person living in America, you know, going through this kind of stuff. I mean, it's interesting to read these different books about different approaches from Nnedi Okorafor and was N.K. Jemisin as well, another black author writing fantasy books in America as well. There's like these different experiences coming through in the fiction. And it is, you know, the different approaches that they're taking, or the different approaches that their characters are taking throughout this. It's interesting that both of these authors have picked, you know, have done, you know, I wouldn't say similar things, but like there's similar, you know, themes coming through in their work of, you know, what would be the solution? What would, you know, if you're going to lash out at somebody, what would that be like, you know, in different ways? So, again, I don't need to go too much into this. This is a book which, in some ways, like I say, I think is better than Who Fears Death. In some ways, not as good as Who Fears Death. It's the main character. I mean, it feels like a lot smaller story. Who Fears Death, it starts off and it goes from somebody growing up from when they're like nine, well, before they're born, you know, from their conception all the way through their life until sort of like big revolutions at the end or whatever, like, you know, 20-year time span. But because the Book of Phoenix in the Book of Phoenix, is, you know, she's only 2 years old or 3 years old by the end of this because she's accelerated. Her story is a lot more condensed, and actually what happens to her, like big parts of it's like, oh, and let's just skip forward a year and then let's move on, and stuff is now happening months later. It feels like a lot smaller story. I mean, a bigger story in a way because it's much more wide ranging. But a smaller story in a way is sort of like, well, this character doesn't go through as many steps in life, or all of those steps in life aren't spread over a 20-year time span. They're spread over a 2-month time span. And it really comes down to it, sort of like, well, what can you learn in 2 years? Is 2 years of life enough? Like, even if you've got the physicality and the brains and the intelligence of a grown person, do you really have enough time to do this? And I just looked here on the Goodreads page, and Jenny from Reading Envy says her quote from the book is, human beings make terrible gods. And you know what makes an even worse god is a human being who's only 2 years old. And so yeah, it's an interesting one. Let's see what else she said. I enjoyed reading it, but also felt like it's been too long since reading Who Fears Death. I should have reread that first, or perhaps now. Yeah, I love the accelerated humans in a social climate of rejecting control of the 1%. In some ways, it felt very plausible. All of these stories coming out of what exists in our world now. That's what Jenny says, and I would agree with that. I did actually just read Who Fears Death, so I think it was a lot fresher in my mind. Who else here? Tudor rated it 5 stars. Loved every line of this novel. The Book of Phoenix is a great example of what Delaney thinks is science fiction, a literature that uses special language to talk not about the future, but about the present and its potentiality, and about the lingering shadows of the past. That's good as well. Good review. I wouldn't give this book 5 stars. I think I'll give it 4 stars, but for different reasons that I gave Who Fears Death 4 stars. I think just overall, the story isn't as even in this one. And there were a few things which just felt a bit, in some ways, a bit rushed and other ways a bit slow. Like it's like, oh, and then she goes here and then she does that. And some ways I'm just like, okay, let's just move on. I don't need to read that many times of somebody having issues with wings. Like if you've got wings, yes, I understand they're big, but like half the time it's like, and then I got into a taxi and my wings were, you know, bashing against the ceiling. And then I went here and I had to sit sideways because my wings were bashing here. And then I had to cover up because of wings. I was like, yes, I understand that you've got wings. I don't need like the main focus of every chapter to be like, oh, I've got wings. This is annoying. Yes, it is annoying. Anyway, there are other issues like that with this book, but otherwise, it's a pretty good book. 4 stars. Well, of course, if I'm giving it 4 stars, I'm highly recommending this one, though not without reservations for some of the stuff that happens in the middle. Yeah, I think that's it. Short episode this time. I don't have a whole lot to say, although I do recommend this, and I would recommend it reading it the other way around. I'm not this like the way that I read it. Read Who Fears Death first, and then read this one, because I think the message of Who Fears Death is it needs not to have this character and not to have this story in your head all the way through. What I've said now in this podcast is fine, but I think it makes a lot more sense to sort of see who Phoenix is compared to Onisowo in the other book. And then this book informs your reading of that book, especially if you read it soon after each other like I did. So 4 stars for me. That's it for me about that book. I think the next book that I'm going to... Oh, what was it one? Someone else recommended a book. I've seen it mentioned a few times here. Let me delete that one. We Are Legion, We Are Bob. I started that book. I'm a few hours into that audiobook, so I'll be finishing that today. In about 30 minutes, I have to leave to go to the airport to fly to Brazil, so I was going to say, oh, I'm going to get through lots of audiobooks on the way there, but yesterday, Netflix says, hey, you know what? Now you can download... TV shows and movies onto your app. So I filled up my iPad with some videos from there and some others on my phone. So I got the Expanse series, which is Leviathan Wakes, the TV show. Expanse, yeah. So I've got that there on my iPad, and I've got some other fun things, and Black Mirror as well on my thing. So maybe I'll do less audiobook listening on this plane journey and maybe a bit more TV watching. Because normally it's just whatever movies are there on the backs of the seats, but my iPad screen is probably a bit better than the back of the seat TV screen, and it's some stuff that I already want to watch anyway. So we'll see how that goes. Also, I've got another books coming up for the future: Nine Fox Gambit, which was recommended to me, and The Year of the Flood by Margaret Atwood, which is a follow up book to one that I read before, Oryx and Crake. And another podcast that I listened to called Geek Nights, they were talking about this because that first book, Oryx and Crake, was one of their recent book club episodes that they did. And now they're going, oh, I'm reading Year of the Flood. You should read it. And I was like, yeah, I was going to get around to that one. So let's finish off then. Let's finish off with the audiobook. If you want this book, Book of Phoenix, I reckon you should check it out on Audible. So go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP. And in doing so, you can get this book for free, Book of Phoenix. Actually, let me look up who is the narrator of this. Because this is actually... Oh, this is another thing that I quite liked about this book, is that I like the narration of this better, because it is someone... It's like set 22nd century or whatever it is. And this one is narrated by Robin Miles, and because she's grew up in New York, just with around Americans or around normal, you know, like I wouldn't say non-accented people, but we're sort of just like generic accent. Robin Miles does this just in kind of generic "I'm a person in the world" accent. Whereas Who Fears Death, narrated by Anne Flosnick, seemed to be Anne Flosnick. I don't know where she's from, but it seemed to be like an English author, and then was putting on kind of a South Sudanese accent. Maybe, I don't know, I guess that book was set there, so sub-Saharan accent, and it sometimes didn't go over that well, and it was a bit jarring in some cases. The Book of Phoenix, though, a much more, I'd say, plainer narration, less fancy narration, but it works really well for this book. So I say, do this. Go to audibletrial.com/SFBRP. Get Who Fears Death for free by signing up for a free trial, and you get that book. It's yours forever. If after 30 days you want to continue on the trial, you just, like I say, SFBRP is the promo code. Or, yeah, audibletrial.com/SFBRP. And you help support the podcast and you get a free audiobook out of that if you... and even if you don't continue on with the trial, you still get a free audiobook out of it, which I would recommend. I'm a very happy Audible customer here. So so I think that's about it. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Luke Burridge. On Instagram, Luke Burridge there. On YouTube, I'm Luke Burridge on YouTube. LukeBurridge.com, my website. And also go to sfbrp.com and check out the episode list. If you think, hey, has he read this book? Yeah, go check out the episode list and you can search or you can order the list by book, by author, by star ratings, by length of podcast and lots of other different ways of working. And yeah, an episode number and stuff and different ways of looking at the information there. So, and of course, so become my friend on Goodreads and recommend me books there too. So thanks a lot for listening and I'll catch you next time.